Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, Adam, where are thou looking at the promenade? Are thou looking at people walk to and fro? Is the ocean growing more and more? Or is it ebbing out to a flow? What is it? Climate warning, globe trotting, and what are they doing? Missiles flying everywhere, but blaming it on the ocean and the motion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adam Kamda, you bring the whole ocean into the homes of the people. You bring in a refreshing, lovely breeze into the homes. You bring in not a tsunami, but you bring in tranquility and peace. Adam, where art thou? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing from the dam to the lovely, beautiful Indian Ocean? How does it feel, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafad. Yes, the only missiles I'm looking out for this morning are the birds dive bombing into the ocean looking for sardines, Shafad. I looked out south this morning and I could see, Ghulam's boat. Ghulam is still patrolling the coastline searching for sardines. He managed to catch some a few days ago, but I still haven't seen them being sold on the roadside, Shafad. I wonder where all these sardines are going to. But he's still going strong, and I'm pretty sure he'll get some today. I can see his boat out there at Addington at the moment, but not on the shore. The boat is floating around near the backline, Shafad.
I tell you, you make a very good point indeed. Those missiles were there from time immemorial, and the kudrat and the karama of the sardines. Where the sardine comes from, nobody knows, not even Adam. And where the sardine goes, nobody knows, even Adam. Now, Adam, you're absolutely right. People say, I didn't eat my sardines this year. And as you said, the people are catching them. But where is it going? Who's buying the sardines? I mean, there's someone that's, are they buying it and deliberately keeping it away from the people? Like how with the rice fields of this world, there's a conglomerate, there's a group that buys up all the rice fields in the world and only keeps a quarter and to keep the price inflated. And then they sell it into the market. And they deliberately create shortages of food that way, Adam. But I, manipulating the fish market, Icona, I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Yes, Shafad, I don't think this plot is so sinister when it comes to the sardines. It's just that this year is the off year. You know, you get about 2 or 3 years of really excellent sardine run, and then, this is considered a blank year. But it doesn't mean the sardines are not around. You know, we had a meeting with all our fishing buddies last night at the club, and sitting around after a good chow, and Molana Zeman was telling us that, he's been out in deep water, like fishing the 100-meter mark, looking for salmon at night. And even at night, you shine your torch into the water and there's silvery fish all over. So those huge shoals are still present off Durban, Shafad. They are following a deep water channel of cold water. And occasionally some pockets will come shallower, and that's when Ghulam is waiting with his nets and he's going to try and catch it. So even the sardines that are being caught, talk is that some of it is actually being kept aside for bait, because bait netting is very regulated. And sometimes when the quotas are exhausted, then these fisheries actually look forward to the sardine run and try and bank some of this fish away, to be sold as bait for fishermen, Shafad.
So, okay, that's making a lot of sense. And they maybe have a huge storage houses or cold rooms to put the sardines away. How do you store sardines, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, you have to take care of them quite well. It has to be blast frozen, obviously packed into boxes. The fisheries normally pack them in 1 kilo or 5 kilo boxes. It has to be blast frozen and then kept in cold store at minus 20 degrees, Shafad. If it's for consumption, it's okay to buy them off the beach from the netters. Take them home. I recommend wash them down, clean them, and eat them the same day. But even this can be frozen for at least a week or two and eaten later, Shafad. As long as it's taken from fresh and frozen immediately, and then thawed out once and consumed, it's pretty safe. But for the for use as bait, Shafad, the sardine can be kept for up to a year without any problem. But this season, if they're keeping it for bait, it will be used up within 2 or 3 months, because there is a bit of a shortage of sardine bait on the market at the moment.
Jazakallah for sharing that. And, you know, there are those individuals that tell you, you know what, if a grandpa doesn't get his share of sardines, you say, go to that, butchery or go to that fishmonger and buy me that bait. Yeah, sardine bait. If I had that, then I know I ate sardine for the year. How would you, advise grandpa that he's addicted to his sardine, but if he doesn't get it, hello, high water, he will even chow the bait just to say, I ate sardine that year, Adam.
No, I would highly recommend against that, Shafa'at, because whatever is stored for bait is it's usually not recommended for human consumption because there's no guarantee of the cold chain. If seafood is harvested from the ocean and presented for human consumption, it's usually cared for very, very carefully. Either it's frozen on board a ship, if it's caught by a trawler and then brought back already packaged, goes straight into the cold room. And when you buy it from a supermarket and take it home and defrost it, you know it's being defrosted for the first time. But breaking the cold chain means, for example, if the sardine is caught, frozen, and then it either thaws out completely or thaws out partially and then refrozen, that's when, you know, bacteria is introduced and it becomes not suitable for human consumption. So I have heard of people buying sardines. I don't know if you remember that blue box sardine. I think it's called Lusitania. It used to have some parsley on the picture and it looks so appetizing as if it's presented for human consumption. I've heard of people actually buying that, especially Portuguese people, you know, who love sardines, and they would defrost it and consume it. No ill effects. But having said that, I still advise against buying anything that's labeled as bait and taking it home to eat, Shafa'at.
Hey, I can hear my Portuguese auntie there. Yes, Vovo. Okay, I'll tell Adam that. Vovo, say, tell Adam, I buy sardine, Lusitania, your Portuguese best sardine. I buy and I make sardine egg. Okay. I mean, she's crushing it up and she's putting some chilies and dhania in that. But still, Adam, you still tell Vovo not to have it.
Yes, Shafa'at, I would recommend, you know what, make that extra effort to go and find the fresh sardine. Today with social media, there's so much of information out there, and these netters actually like it when the public comes down, interacts with them, helps them pull the nets in, and then also offer, you know, to sell their sardines to the public. Very often, if it's a bumper catch towards the end, they'll actually open the nets up and let some of the public take free sardines. So even if it's expensive, Shafa'at, make that effort to watch all these sardine news groups. There's one very good page on Facebook called the Sardine News, run by Sean Langer. He's been giving really up to date information as to where the sardines are. So go down to the beach, watch your social media, watch the WhatsApp groups. Take a drive down, enjoy the sardine experience, and get some sand between your toes. Bring that fresh sardine home and really enjoy the taste of KZN and Shafa'at.
Yeah, Adam, you heard about the new party they've got. They're calling it the Sardine Party. It says, we in the Republic of South Africa, for 1 year only, for 1 month only, we give you free sardines. Vote for the Sardine Party, Republic of South Africa. You think the Sardine Party will make a... we'll get a shoal of votes?
For sure, Shafa'at. They will get the vote because you know how we love free things in South Africa, Shafa'at.
Okay. I got another name, the Mufatia Party. Come on. You love it all for free. Anyway, we'll move on, Adam. Now you know what's happening. You found that it's a Pingo Beach saga where there were dead fish all around. So many people are coming to our doors and knocking. I say, yes, brother, I got fish. You want? I got some lovely fish. I say, hey, brother, thank you very much. And we know where they're getting that fish from. Now, how do we identify that, hey, that is a dead fish from the Pingo Beach estuary, Adam?
Yes, Shafa'at, from the photos that I've seen, it's mostly bream. You know, and you can identify quite easily it's river bream. But having said that, this was also a topic on the table last night, and our members were just reminiscing as to what a variety of species they used to catch in that estuary. Grunters up to 7-8 kilos. Sometimes they used to catch garrick in the estuary. Even kuta used to move into that estuary, Shafa'at. Those days it was so pristine and clean and so thriving with fish. So even though the photos that I've seen are only of bream that we floating and found dead in the estuary. But you could find any manner of fish, any species of fish. So if you are not sure of the origin of the fish, then don't touch it. Number one, you don't know how it died, whether it died through poisoning and through toxic chemicals in that estuary. And you don't know how it's been cared for. As I said, you know, if you harvest anything from the ocean, it must be frozen immediately. The care you take is very, very important to keep bacteria away and to keep it absolutely fresh and pristine. So I would highly recommend, do not buy any fish, especially if it's being sold at a very cheap price, Chapa. That should ring the bells to say that there's something suspect about this. I'd recommend going to, if you want fresh seafood, go to a recognized seafood dealer. Pay the full price and keep yourself and your family safe, Chapa.
Absolutely. And, you know, is there any call line or something that you can call when people are doing illegal, buying and selling, selling fish illegally? Can they be reported, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, there is an anti-poaching hotline. These guys often patrol the estuaries looking out for gill nets and illegal forms of fishing. You can Google it and find the number quite easily and phone them up. But having said that, I think they are grossly understaffed, so you really have to keep your fingers crossed that they can actually come out quickly and take action against transgressors, Shafar.
So if someone comes with the fish, and it's safer to buy fish down the lower south coast than the mid south coast. I mean, lower means going towards Vongo, going past Mkumas and all that, then getting it more from outside, say from the east coast to the our south coast chain, Sapingo. Where is a safe zone, Adam?
Yes, Shafaj, we have had quite a lot of issues with pollution along the Durban beachfront. So many of the fishermen have avoided fishing these areas. But having said that, all the fishmongers get their fish from far out at sea, Chapar. You know, it's usually line fish like slingers and rock cod. And then they also get some barracuda, the game fish like barracuda and tuna. So if you're buying from a fishmonger, it's fine. Technically, you're not allowed to buy from recreational fishermen. The recreational fishermen can catch for their own consumption. So if you want fresh fish from the ocean, you can become a fisherman yourself, take a drive down the south coast, throw your line in the water and harvest some lovely fish. I would say that surf fishing is quite safe all the way down the south coast and all the way up the north coast. Durban, to me, looks pretty clean. Everything's cleaned up, but I haven't seen any official notice whether it's safe or unsafe, Shafar.
Looking at a message on the screen, Rafiq says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz, you and Adam sound like old fishing buddies. Yeah, we're very, very close indeed, very close. Adam will tell you how close. Rafiq goes on to say, Brother Shafaz, I presume that a crayfish will not be contaminated by the effluent and all those other things that are coming. I don't know, mention the smelly things that are coming through, because crayfish, by their very nature, eat all those things. Can I still eat my crayfish with my nose blocked? I don't know what Rafiq is trying to tell us, but what's your thoughts there, Adam?
You know, Shafat, the sewer pollution that we've experienced in Durban is unprecedented. I think a lot of infrastructure is not functional. Pumps are not working. Maybe there's no resources to replace the pumps. And I have a feeling that sluice gates are opened to let all this flow into the harbor and flow out to the sea, kind of like under the carpet, until, things get so bad, then people complain. And which is we've reached that stage of art where, although the ocean is so vast and even the body of water in the harbor is so vast, it could take anything, but no more, Shafat. It's reached its limit. And it's become a health hazard. So, drastic action needs to be taken to fix those pumps up, to stop all the raw sewage being spewed into the harbor and the ocean, because it really is killing off things. And even, as you rightly mentioned, things that are normally in the ocean are scavengers and are filter feeders and will actually purify the water and make the ocean good. This pollution is too much even for them, Shafat, and it's actually killing off a lot of organisms on our coast.
You know, Adam, you make a very valid point indeed. And whilst you're talking, you really tickle my thoughts. And I was thinking all this waste product of human waste product. I mean, they make fantastic manure. why don't they, pipe it into soil and put it into soil and maybe can get lovely cabbages and lettuce growing there? I mean, no one will know about it, but it came because, you know, it comes from the soil. If we go to the soil instead of polluting the ocean like that, Adam, what if I made you a Minister of Environmental Affairs and I gave you the suggestion? Would you entertain it?
You know, Shafar, I'd hate to be a grocer having cabbages and lettuce in my tent and people having to eat the lettuce or the salad holding their nose, like you mentioned, holding their nose to eat the crayfish, Shafar. So I'll stay away from it. That's not a good idea in my mind, Shafar.
You know what, Adam? Let's be honest. They use cow dung. You know cow dung? That guy will come and say, cow dung, and you put that in your garden. You see your grass get green and greener than green. If you got a couple of carrots and all growing in your greenhouse, you put the cow dung there, Adam. The smell is not there anymore, but that carrot, hey, you say, where did you get this from? He said, no, I use manure. He said, oh, mashallah. But you're not telling them what manure, Adam. Your thoughts.
Yes, Shafar, I've heard of cow dung and horse manure all being used as fertilizers and, to enhance growth of vegetables or, as you mentioned, grass. But I'm not an expert in this field. I'd rather run far away from it. I think my friend Novi Naidu is very sharp with these kind of things. He'll probably be able to shed more light. Maybe we'll get him on next week to advise us whether it's possible or not possible.
I think it's a good idea. Bring him on with you, Adam. You know, we can share that idea. Novi say, I did try it. That's on Kumasa somewhere. They had a farm there, banana, butter bananas and so forth. Well, Adam, you know, you look at different types of... What fascinated me was, I'm looking at a question on the screen, and I think our listeners are already in it this morning. It's Mohsin. Mohsin said, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafa'at. Tell Adam I've got fresh water piranhas in my tank, and I want to know, these are the vegetarian type. They only eat those leaves that I put in, special weeds that I put in for them, and they eat it all. But I believe the other piranhas are flesh-eating. Tell us the difference between the flesh-eating piranhas and the vegetarian piranhas. Has Adam any knowledge on that? And can I eat these piranhas? How do you respond there, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, that's quite a unique situation. I haven't heard of a piranha species that's vegetarian. Maybe you should wiggle your finger in the tank a little bit and see if they bite. But
they'll nip it all out, Adam.
Yes, Shafar. I can't understand why you'd want to eat these beautiful little fish. I mean, if you've got them in a fish tank, I mean, you don't want to be eating your pet, Shafar. So if he's feeling for seafood, then visit my friend Zaf at Seafood Market. Then you can get your shop to your heart's content with all manner of lovely, delicious tasting fish, Shafar.
I'll tell you, Adam, I've got this big Pengaskis. You know, mine must be about 9-10 years old, and it's big. So I had a friend that came in the other day, and he looked at it. He said, hey, chef, what fish is this? I said, yeah. Can you know what's the price of this fish? You know, I buy its flesh. It's very nice. And I'm looking at him. I said, hey, this guy is talking about the thing I brought up from a baby. And he's talking about chowing it. Anyway, I can't quite. But there's a little I know about the freshwater fish is that, you buy this dollars. They call it dollars. And I remember the guy at the fish shop telling me this. He's a pastor, Mr. Cass. He used to be in Durban. And he told me, no, this is the piranha. That's a vegetable. So they call it dollars. So I'm not too, intuited that I can give an informed decision. So as I said, we'd rather stay off it till we get experts talking about it. Looking at another question, he says, Adam Kamda, I really love the promenade. You did describe it for us this morning. tell us what's happening in the promenade.
It's such a beautiful sight. The weather forecast said that it's going to be icy cold and blistering wind. The sky has cleared up beautifully after that cold front that came through. We had the hectic wind yesterday, and today it's absolutely beautiful with a warm sun rising up above the horizon. The waves are very gentle. But I must say, Shafar, a lot of people are disappointed today because the forecast was for 4 meter swell, so that kept all the fishermen off the water, but it looks pretty fishable to me. And all the guys who love surfing, thing. I ran down to the beach this morning, and they are disappointed because the 4-meter swells didn't materialize. It looks like one meter at most of a lovely, gentle swell. So for the beginners, it's lovely. A lot of guys have paddled out on the paddle skis, and they stand up paddle boards. The surfers are just bobbing around on the back line, straddling their surfboards, waiting for that set to come through. But it's still an absolutely beautiful day. Lots of people jogging. I can see someone pushing a baby in a pram. There's someone walking their dog. It's so festive here, Shapad. It looks like it's holiday time.
Now, Adam, you know how closely people are listening to you, because you, actually, those expats around the world, they listen to you so intently that you actually bring Durban alive for them. Do you know what an important role you're playing, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, mashallah. You know, I take photos of the ocean every morning, and I share it on Facebook. I share it on my WhatsApp status. And I also don't realize sometimes how many people I reach, because I often meet people and they say, oh, I see your morning pictures and they're so lovely. And especially fishermen who are not close to the seashore, you know, they love to just look at the ocean and see what the conditions are and try and like imagine, oh, lovely, how nice it would be if I could be on the shore. And it just gives them some sort of pleasure and satisfaction. And that's what I love. And it transcends lots of sports as well, Shafat. You know, from fishermen to sailors to surfers to kayakers, everyone logs on and has a look at the ocean conditions. And it's so satisfying for them and also for me as well, Shafat. I love photography and love capturing beautiful scenes of the sun rising above the horizon. And social media is a great way to share. And I just love sharing and getting feedback from and compliments from all the fans.
Alhamdulillah, yes, absolutely. And your voice is also heard and your pictures are also seen. MashaAllah, Allah bless you and Allah keep you. Adam, I'm looking at your composite here, right? It's written there, Adam Kamda, 7:15 to 7:45, prawns, shrimp and calamari. Now, how would you, will you rack it like that, Adam?
Yes, Shafaj, you know, it also got me thinking, you know, what's the difference between prawns and shrimps? Is it just the size? And it turns out that they're completely different organisms, Shafaj, although they're both crustaceans and they have that hard exoskeleton. But the makeup of it is completely different. The shrimps, both of them have 10 legs. The shrimps have 2 claws on the front legs. The prawns have 6 claws, although the front ones are much larger than the other 2 pairs. And their gill structure is also completely different. The number of segments are different. But the main distinguishing feature we find normally in the fish shops and stuff is the shrimps are much smaller than the prawns. And shrimps, if you count, they've only got 3 segments and prawns are more. So it's really quite interesting. You know, if you Google it and read up about it, you can learn a lot of information, Shafad.
Now, Adam, I'm thinking about that dried shrimp in tomato chutney with a lovely white rice and yellow dal. Let's go for it, Adam.
Yes, Shafad. This morning I actually prepared a very simple recipe, because when I saw the word prawn and shrimp, it brought me back to the like an ocean basket type of lemon butter sauce. So I dug up my old recipes and I found this beautiful, simple recipe to put together. Ingredients quite plain. Start with 700 grams of tiger prawns, 4 tablespoons of lemon juice, 3 cloves crushed garlic, 1 stalk of parsley finely chopped, 4 tablespoons melted butter, 1 tablespoon vegetable oil, and 1/2 teaspoon black pepper, and salt as required. For 700 grams of prawns, about 1/2 teaspoon to 1 teaspoon of salt would be sufficient. So the method is the first step is to prepare the sauce for the prawns. Mix together the melted butter, lemon juice, salt, pepper, crushed garlic, and chopped parsley in a bowl. Mix it well and keep it aside. And step 2 would be put the grilling pan over medium heat, brush the oil in the pan, and then add the tiger prawns, turning the prawns 30 seconds later. After both sides are done, add in the sauce prepared earlier. Let the prawns cook in the lemon butter sauce. Lastly, after the sauce has dried and the charred grilled lines are on the prawns, take the pan off the flame, garnish with a sprig of parsley, and serve immediately.
I tell you, Adam, you got the taste buds jumping, eh? all those brothers there in the beachfront, they're looking, waiting for you. If that you are not there, then they'll run to that basket there. You spoke about that ocean and the basket. And yes, Adam, you know, sometimes when you go to a buffet and, you know, you notice the prawn section and this, why is it that the prawn section, they always say, oh, sorry, man, we had a limited edition there, it's all gone. Why do they do that, Adam?
The prawns, I suppose, is one of the most expensive of the seafood, Shafaat. So they'd love to fill you up first with the salads and the garlic bread and the lionfish, etc., you know, before you actually get to the prawns. And I don't know if you noticed also, Shafaat, you know, when they're serving in a function and they have many dishes, the prawns always comes last. I think it's the same reason they want everyone to be filled up nicely with the soup and the naans and everything, and then bring the prawns at the end where there's not really much space for them, and each person can have two or three prawns and that's, and they're done with it, Shafaat.
Yeah, it seems like the waiters chow all the prawns and then they bring out the shells there. But Adam, absolutely brilliant this morning. Your parting words?
Yes, Shafaat, I just love to appeal to everyone. My uncle Ahmed is going in for an operation this morning. And please, if you can remember, just make a small dua for him that everything goes successfully. And Allah gives him shifa and he heals quickly. And salams to you and the listeners, Shafaat.
Wa alaikum salam, Adam. A special dua for your uncle Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful week ahead, and I will talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, that was our Adam Kamda keeping us up to speed and what's happening in the ocean. A lot of motion also. And I tell you, yeah, Boniface, no, not on his segment. There is no commotion.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.